Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Good morning and welcome to our internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside. We want to thank our past artist for that introduction there. Are You Ready? That was an artist that was on here a few months ago, and we were glad to bring his music on board here to introduce our next guest here. I am very proud and pleased to introduce our listening audience this morning here, Mr. Mean Mug, and we're going to talk about his book, The Tattoos Year. Good morning, Mr. Mean Mug.
Hey, good morning, man. Good morning to everybody, man. It's a pleasure to be on your show, man. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure to meet you at the Day of Thanks, man. It was real good, man. You doing good today?
I'm doing real good, man. But I want to talk about you, man, and your book, man. I'm sitting up here looking at the cover now, man. Man, the cover blows me away, brother. Tell us about what's going on with you.
Okay, I'm Mr. Mean Mug, man. I go by Mr. Mean Mug because I had to, use a pen name when I wrote my book in prison. You're not allowed to use your government name because whatever you make profit off of is the Son of Sam law where they can take it because you're a property of the state. But I actually wrote my book because, I was incarcerated, and I was just trying to figure out, what was my purpose in life. And, it led me to start writing, and, I put a whole book together, and it's just about five individuals who's actually trying to find that purpose in life, and as we go through things in life or in the streets, as you call it, it's hard to actually see what we're supposed to be doing, And I actually wrote the book with no college education, no 12th grade education, no nothing, and it was very difficult because, I couldn't complete a sentence or whatever, but God was just telling me to go ahead and get through it, just using the faith. He helped me actually get the book that you see to what it looks like today. And, I just used the book, to relate to the people who don't understand and can't read. They needed something to relate to. So I had to write in Ebonics to get, my message across to actually let people know that you can actually read. That was my, big old feat. I was in prison, I got a book, and for the first time I read a book in a day, it tripped me out because I could actually relate to what was actually going on in a book. And Tattoo Tears, man, is a powerful testimony of mine that I use, man, everywhere I go, man, because, it's all about the testimony that helps us overcome everything that we've been through. The word says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And that's why I use this, because every tattoo that I have is actually a story or a past of mine that I've been through. So every time anybody asks about it, I'm able to overcome. You feel me, Brother Lewis? So, I'm on a mission to actually help the youth, man, because they're actually, headed down the wrong road because they don't have any guidance. And, I want to take the responsibility to be one of them role models that look like Baby or Lil Wayne and all them, man, that's actually giving a positive message, man, because, it's all about, living our purpose out, getting to the promise. And it's a real fear of mine not reaching that before the day my time is up.
And that is powerful, though, bro. As I met you a couple of weeks ago, man, I heard your testimony, man, and it was for real, brother. It was for real, and I saw those scars, and I saw the passion that you had, man. And our young people, they saw it and they heard it too, man. I want to talk about this book just to give our audience just a glimpse of what's going on, because I want to ask you how did you get to this here point here. But this first title, I like this, man, called Free at Last. That's the name of our program. So that's very, that means a lot to me, man. As you pit that together, man, what was the thought or the basis of that, man?
The thought was, man, that, we have so many ancestors, man, that fought for our freedom, that did all type of things, to get us free from slavery, and you know, to get everything integrated, and it hurt my feelings when I actually realized that I gave up all my rights again, you know, and it was like, wow, you about to be free at last again when we already been free. And it's like when you're incarcerated, you give yourself back to slavery, and you really go through the feelings of, you know, the slavery. In the first chapter, it's a book, it's a page in there where we're actually at work in prison, and we're actually in a field, and it's called the Hoe Squad. And what we're actually doing, they got us cutting grass with a hoe, and we can't miss a step. And you know, it's, you know, all races out there, but the black race is so influenced by what's going on, and we don't really know it, that we're actually acting like they used to act when they were slaves. We're singing, we're rocking on it, we're getting through the day, and it messed me up to actually see the policeman on top of the same horse that I seen in Roots. You know what I'm saying? And it just messed my whole mental up, and that's really where that first chapter came from, Free at Last, again, because, you know, I replayed everything in my mind just by looking in the horse's eyes. That was the same horse after generation after generation after generation. You see what I'm saying? Everybody's playing the same role. And it was just, you know, it was just wild. It was blowing my mind. Even the horse was playing his role. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I like to, you know, I just want to, you know, let the ancestors know that I understand that I messed up, and now it's time to, you know, get back to where we supposed to be.
Yeah, and you know, and he was sharing that there, and I was just thinking about how often and how misguided we are, but we in prison and we slave ourselves, man, by the living conditions, the drugs, mm-hmm. and the gangster lifestyle, and whatever it may be, you know, we put ourselves in that type of bunny. But I'm glad to see, man, that your eyes were open, brother, not only yours, but you're allowing everybody else's eyes to be open by what you're sharing and what you're doing. Now, we have a call on the line. Our guest host is on the line here. We're going to bring him in a few minutes, but I want you to tell us, how did you get to this point where you are now?
Man, I just kept on pushing, man. I actually, you know, faith is a real powerful tool that God gives us, and a lot of people don't know how to utilize it. And what it is, man, when you begin to believe in something, you got to start acting on it. And when you start acting on it, the things that you can't make happen or the things that you can't make come to pass, that's when the God power starts working in your life, because he don't respond to us other than by our action. You know what I'm saying? So what I did was I started writing my book while I was in prison. I kept going, and to tell you the truth, I was released from prison on a fluke. But you know, it was all because of the faith that I had, and I kept on pushing. I kept on pushing. Came home, and on my block it was a bookstore. That was ironic to me. You know, it was a bookstore on my block, and it had never been there. And it was just, you know, God just putting all the pieces together, man. And I just kept going. I got blessed with publicists. I got blessed with, you know, just people like yourself to actually hear my story. And, man, I won't stop, you know, because I know that's what's helping me overcome. And I know it's not about me anymore. You know, I die every day so that he can live through me. And, you know, I'm just trying to pursue, you know, my dream and my purpose, man. That's just the major thing, and that's what's keeping me going and keeping me – I'm actually in Pittsburgh now, you know, just trying to, you know, spread – my message everywhere.
Oh, man, that's good. I tell you what, we're going to bring our co-host in here just a moment here and give you an opportunity to just kick back and relax there. Good morning, yes, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, Deacon Lewis?
I'm doing great. Man, we have Mr. Mean Mug on here. He's the author of a very fine book here called The Tattoo Years here, and we're just talking to him. And did you hear the conversation that he was just sharing with us?
Yeah, I heard how he started off. Don't you know that most of all, you know, people that really get incarcerated and stuff in jail, most because they have you know, literacy problems. They're not really able to communicate, and really most of them really don't know their rights. You know, and they get caught up in the system, and basically they have other people do the talking and they're thanking for them. So you know, what's happening with this cycle is it stays with the people that, you know, don't let them know nothing, and so they keep them ignorant, and you got control over them. And like he said, it was the same thing in slavery days to what they did. They kept books away from our slaves. Didn't teach them how to read. You just do as I say, you know, and keep working. And so it's time we really come up from that thinking right now. We just try to educate our minds to the word of God and plus and other things, you know, in the world. I'm going to ask him a question. I'm going to ask some questions though right now. When you first wrote this book, basically, how did you lay down all the chapters and stuff? Did you really have a bridge work, or did you have a general scope how you want the book to feel like?
Yeah, man. Actually, man, I wanted to also touch on, you know, the knowledge issue because, you know, that's the curse on the world, man. It's the lack of knowledge, and he told us in his word that people will perish from lack of knowledge, and that's what's going on in the world today. We perishing because we don't know nothing, and that's, you know, a major feat that we have to, you know, overcome is this education thing. But actually, when I wrote my book, I actually used other books that I was reading to actually, you know, map out and to put a outline down. But what I did was, you know, I just got topics of what I wanted to actually talk about and wrote them topics down, and then I went into actually writing about it or putting my story together.
Yeah. All right, that's yeah, great. That's great. And you know, Mr. Mimo, if you were sharing that, you know, our listening audience, we have young men and women that listen, and we have some that are very gifted. Sometimes they feel like they don't have enough talent to do the thing that God lay on their heart, but I'm glad to see that you overcame those challenges within your own self. You know, you've been free to do that, because if you'd have shared your vision with people, I'm pretty sure someone said, no, you can't do it, it's more to it, but yet you faced that challenge, and you were successful because you were able to get your book out.
Yes, sir. It's in Ebonics. You know, you really can't understand it if you're very educated, and that was the whole cause of the whole thing. You know, I wanted to dummy down so that people who couldn't actually think they could read could actually relate to something. And it's just like a trick. But, you know, that's why I go by the name of Mr. Mean Mug, because I when I was in the streets, that was my thing. I would mug people. I would, you know, take their finance, take whatever I could to actually come up. And now I realize, you know, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So why, you know, throw that away? So what I do now is I mug people's minds. And that's what I was doing with the book. You know, I was just, you know, letting people understand that a dummy can write too, and a dummy can read too. And once we do this, after that, you're not dumb no more. Now you know you can read. Now you know you can write. And you just continue to do it because you broke the curse. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I kind of used Tattoo Tears for, my first penmanship that I did, was to let people know that you can actually relate to something and read it. And, you know, after I read the first book, coldest one ever that I ever read, I began to pick up other books, 48 Laws of Power, Art of War, and, you know, just different things, even the Bible. You get to understanding better, you know what I'm saying? So I was just trying to use that as a tool, you know, to break a curse or break a chain or, you know, just actually reading something.
Yeah, that's so true. That's now, Mr. Mima. Today, man, our young men's are facing. Man, they got a mountain that's facing them, man. Because you know the world tell you to get all you can all you get in it, and you know, and they want everyone to be successful. What words of encouragement can you give our young men to kind of redirect their thoughts, man? Because you and me know personally, man, that we losing a whole generation, man.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because, you know, the big thing is you can't actually build anything without a plan. So and you can't have a plan without a vision. So when you get your vision and you catch it, man, you got to hurry up and write it down so that you can see it plain. And God tells us in his word that he'll make it come to pass. And if you just utilize the little things, like the word of God is null and void if you don't put action
yes.
to it. If you don't put faith into the word, it don't make a difference what it say. So when you use the word and utilize it, you get so much accomplished. And, you know, just writing down your vision, seeing it on paper, you can't build a house without having the, you know, the format architect out. You know, you got to draw it out. You got to see it. Everybody who's working on the house has to see the same thing.
Yeah.
So everybody who's working on this plan to get knowledge, we got to come together, make a plan so we can see it, and then it'll come to pass. And, you know, that's just what I was doing, and that's how I utilize all the gifts that God gives us, because we're just like Jesus, and that was our example, and that's what he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. You know, I do juvenile ministry, and I go down to the local juvenile center here in Dallas, Texas, and I share with young men, and I talk to them, and I ask them, what are they playing? What are they, you know, do they have a future? You know, what are their goals? And a lot of them just don't, they hadn't even had an opportunity to even think about it, because they're so caught up in the world system here. And I said, brother, you need to sit up and talk about, you know, think about what you're going to do, what you enjoy doing, you know, give you some goals, give you some options. And I found a lot of our young men, whether they black, white, Hispanics, a lot of our young men, they want to play sports. You know, and I said, hey, what happened when you can't play sports anymore? Hey, you thought about being a doctor or a trainer or something of that nature. You know, we need to try to let these young men know, even though they make some mistakes, they can yet be overcome to be victorious in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
And, you know, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, man, it's crazy, man, that we don't actually see this in our neighborhood. We don't actually see nothing but athletes and rappers or, you know, anything like that. So we just got to, you know, start making the kids and the youth see it with the ones that's coming up, because they're our future. And if we put that in their mind, they'll understand it. And the ones after them, they'll see it. And it's just about, you know, breaking the curses and just actually moving in it and actually showing that we're actually doing something about it. And, you know, I'm willing to die for it, man, to let these kids know, man, that you can be so successful. You can be more than you are more than a conqueror. And, you know, I went for the Guinness Book of World Records, most tattoos in 24 hours by a single artist. I'm also a tattoo artist. And, you know, God gives us gifts and talents to actually bless somebody else, to heal somebody else. Whatever you do, you're supposed to do it in him. And that's what heals somebody else and blesses somebody else. But I went for the Guinness Book of World Records to show the kids that whatever you put your mind to, you can make it happen, you can achieve it. And, you know, no matter where you've been or what happened in your past or in your yesterday, it's over. It's time to go forward. Don't never live in your past. And, you know, I'm just trying to be a living example before I actually tell somebody what to do. I want to actually do it myself. And I believe, you know, that's what leaders should do. They should actually follow what they're trying to lead.
Man, you know what? I am so glad you said that, man, because a lot of times people, they want to try to tell people what they do when they ain't done it. Because I'm from the old school, man. You know, show me. You know, if you're going to walk this walk, show me, you know. And cause I draw strength off of your failures and your success. If you're doing something, you're talking about you ain't never done it, but you get courage in me, I'm going to kind of look at you, you know, cross-eyed it or something, man. But
I'm going to be sideways,
you know,
yeah.
Yes. And you know what? And you said something that while ago, man, that the young people, they looking for people in their neighborhood, people look just like them, man. You know? Yes, they see Kobe and they see LeBron, man, but they looking for somebody that they can reach out and touch, man.
Mm-hmm. We got to be them,
you know,
people, man. We got to start touching. We got to start giving them attention.
Yes.
That's all anybody wants is a little bit of attention.
And, you know, and I share with our young men about being successful. So sometimes success don't have to be that money and that fame, man. Successful just being honorable and pleasing in your neighborhood, man, being a family man. My dad didn't have very much of an education, man. To me, he was successful, man, because he held a job, man. He came home and he paid bills. He did things that men do. But to me, I look at his success, man, and I want to emulate that. You know, good and bad, because as we grow up, we emulate our surroundings, man. But I know my dad, he done the best he could with what he had, man. But I could just kind of break that cycle and go on a little further, and I pray that my kids and grandkids do the same thing. You
exactly.
know, and not get our success off of TV or off of cereal box or off of CD label or anything, man. And you know what? I'm glad that you're doing what you do, man, because there's a lot of other young men that say, hey, I may have fell short at some things, but I still can be a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, hey, Mima, we're getting ready to wind down this session of the program, brother, but thank you for coming on. Now, our young men, give us some words of encouragement if you can right now about the future of our young men? Because I know you deal with young people. I heard you talk to them. I know you have a passion for them. But if you were one-on-one with a young man or a group of young men, what words of encouragement would you tell them at such a time as this?
I would let them know how powerful they are where they're actually to be at the position they're in, to actually have not been in any trials yet, you know what I'm saying? Actually just, you know, to prepare them for, you know, whatever you do, all your actions, you will reap a consequences or a blessing. So we want to reap more blessings to consequences, so you actually got to, you know, work towards that, man. And, you know, just knowing that you can be a man of your hood and a man of your street and actually, you know, be a leader, man, and, you know, bring your community out, build your community up, and, you know, just start blessing people around you. And once you start doing that, anything you give out, God will multiply. It ain't just money. It's whatever. Whatever you give out, God going to multiply. And I just put people to the test to actually give, man. Just start giving, and just don't think about yourself as much as you usually do, and think about somebody else and what they're going through. And we you really got to understand that you got to thank God for the little thing, because just waking up in the morning lets us know that we can start all over again.
All right, that's powerful. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You said you was in the Guinness Book of World Records. You attempted for a world record for the most tattoos done in 24 hours. How did that go?
Oh, man, it was very successful. We actually did 828. The record was 801. And it was just a powerful thing, man. Just when I was, you know, doing the tattoos, man, how many people was just, you know, supporting the cause and just being there and just coming through and just doing everything. And what we're doing now is we're getting ready to set up for a new one coming up this March, man. We're going to do it real big, man. I'm about to start messing with the youth, man, in the high school to actually let them know that it's you got to have some knowledge, man, and some awareness of what you're doing. Don't just go get these tattoos. Just don't go do this stuff because you see Mr. Meme Mug with tattoos on and you see the people who rapping on TV with tattoos on. You got to understand that I dreamed about everything that I have on me. I actually, you know, thought about it, thought it out, and you know, that's what our youth are losing. They're just doing it because they want to look like somebody else. So I'm asking the kids to take a pledge, you know, to not get a tattoo till they're 18, and if they do so after this pledge, I'll do the tattoo for them on their birthday for free, and just, you know, just letting them know that you got to do things in the right way to, you know, receive and reap the blessings of what it's about, man. And, you know, the Guinness was so good to me, man. They stay in contact with me. They let me know that they understand how personal the attempt was to me, man. And you know, the kids everywhere, man, every time they see, we did the globe of the world. Every time they see the globe of the world, they like, man, Mr. Mean Mug, he went for the Guinness and he won. He did this, he did that. And, you know, that was just a seed that was planted. Now it's just time to move on to bigger and better things because, you know, God is getting ready to – he's not getting ready to come back for judgment, man. It's going to be a revival first. And that's what's happening, man. A revival is about to happen, man, and it's going to be wonderful, man. And I just want to be a part of that. I want to be caught up in that, man, because, you know, he's about to revive us, man. He's about to give it back, man. You know, when you – to fix something – you got to break it all the way down. You got to, when you fix a motor, when you rebuild a motor, you got to take that motor all the way apart, and then you got to build it back up again. And, you know, that's what I feel like the world has been going through. We've been broken down, and now he's building us back up, and the revival is going to be wonderful, man.
Oh, that's powerful. That's so true. Now, before you get off the air here, brother, how could a listener already pick up a copy of your book and follow you?
You can go demand my book at Barnes & Noble's, Borders, any bookstore out there. You can go on Amazon.com. The name of the book is Tattoo Tears, A Gangster's Cry. That's volume one. And you can also get it from me, man. Anytime you see me, you can also get it out of my trunk, out of my hand, or what have you. But it's out there, man. And, you know, just look it up. Go on Amazon. I think that's the cheapest place to get it. We have it on Kindle. We have it on, you know, whatever e-book or hardback, softback, we got it out there, man. Just go demand it because it's a powerful message in there, you know, for somebody who can pick it up and actually, see what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes, it is. Now, tell me, do you have any other books available, or do you have any more coming down the pipeline?
I have one coming out here in a few months. It's called Tattoo Tears, The Blueprint, and it's my new book, not the N-E-W, but the K-N-E-W. It's about knowing the things that we knew in the past, but not understanding what it was until now. You know, and it's wild because, you know, you go through things in your past and you don't understand why until the later days. And, you know, God already knew. He already had it wrote down. And, you know, our vision is blurred because we can't actually see what's going on. And then after you can remember and go over and you know, meditate on it, you can understand why. And we have to start fulfilling our purpose in every moment, not just the long run, because you can't get to the long purpose if you're not fulfilling the purpose of every moment. And, you know, that's just like, you know, the show. If I wasn't on here today, I couldn't fulfill the purpose that I need to fulfill today. And it's what helps us get to that big purpose, just, you know, fulfilling the little things that, you know, God has us to do, man, and actually recognizing it. And when you recognize it, man, it's so powerful to be aware.
Oh, but you know what? I'm smiling because I shared that with somebody the other day, you know, because God give us four seasons of the year. And in regards to those seasons, we have to work in those seasons, man. I can't just cause it's winter, stop working, because I got to get ready for spring. And you said something there, brother. We got to call God give us seasons right here now. You know, come on, waiting on our seat. This is your season right now. This is your purpose. So I love the way, man, I'm going to use that again, man, with our young people, you know. You know, you ain't got to wait for your future. Your future, what's that?
It's just confirmation.
Yeah, just so true. Hey, brother, I'm going to let you go here, man. Thank you for being a guest on our program. We got Brother Daniel that might want to just say a word of encouragement to you before we let you get out of here. Brother Daniel.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mr. Meemaw, for talking to you, man. And don't let this be the last book you write, though, you know?
All right.
Well, thank you.
Yes, he said he got another.
It was a pleasure,
hey, Mr.
Brother Lewis. I really appreciate having
me. Well, God bless you, brother. Hey, man, enjoy your trip. You said that you're in Detroit in another place, so enjoy yourself. Be safe, man. And we're looking forward to having you to be a guest on our show at a later date. And we got another call on the line here. We're going to just bring them in just for a second here. Good morning. You're on the net. Michael, you're on the net?
Good morning. How are you, Joel?
Doing great. We got Mr. Mean Mug on the line here. He's about to wind down here. You want to give him words of encouragement or something?
Well, as I said, every Saturday morning, it's like manna from heaven that says fresh bread that enables us to feast on and to renew ourselves and to recognize that God is doing wonderful things through individuals and ministries across the world. And to be aware of what God is doing enables us to know that we're not alone. And it gives us hope that the things we're doing are doable and that they're sustainable. So I'm always excited to listen to the program and to be made aware of what people are doing to the glory of God through the edification of his people.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. Hold on here. We're going to wind down this portion of the program. Mr. Meebug, again, thank you very much, brother. God bless you. We'll send you a link to this program, man, so you can paste it and you can encourage yourself and also encourage other people. Again, where can our listener already pick up your book?
At Barnes & Noble's, Borders, Amazon.com, anywhere you put it in, you can get it.
Hey, that sounds great, man. God bless you, man, and keep doing what you're doing, okay?
It was an honor, man.
Mr. Daniel.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah,
what a great interview we had,
man. Keep his focus, man, while he's locked up, man, in order to improve himself. You know, one of the first books, man, I read was Malcolm X, book that he wrote through Alex Haley. And really, that's how Malcolm X got real educated like that, man, the same way, man. He just started reading any book he could put his hands to, any room. He couldn't read neither. But
you
know, an inmate in the, you know, Brooklyn. He just started going to the library and just started reading and reading and reading. And so, you know, man, he started reading words and looking them up in the dictionary. He got real educated, man.
Oh, man, that's powerful. And that's why we have guests on here, man. We want to use ordinary people, man, that are doing extraordinary things, man. Who knows? We can have the next great artist on the line here, man, and listen to me come in and hear an archive section and say, man, I felt that way, too. This is just confirmation, man. I'm going to apply my God-given talent to the best of my ability, and guess what? God would order your step. Brother Daniel, we have another guest on the line here. We're going to bring him in. And this guest here, man, has got some things he's going to share with us. I want you to take it to heart. And we're going to bring you in and allow you to ask some questions if you have a desire to. But he's going to talk about some things that's coming up in the neighborhood and some things that he's working with, some things that he's very passionate about. So our next guest is coming on the line here right now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Joel.
Hey, welcome aboard here, brother.
Hey, man. Thank you. Yes.
Man, we had a great interview that with Mr. Mean Mug, man. Did you enjoy that interview, the part you heard?
Certainly did. Certainly did, man. But, I've gotten accustomed to it now, to expect the unusual from you and your program. So keep up that good work, my brother.
Oh, man, great. God bless you, man. This is God's business, man. So we do it. To the honor of God. Man, but you got something you want to share with us, man. I'm excited about it, man. So please share what God has laid on your heart and put your hands to do.
Well, basically what I want to do is kind of share with you and your listening audience an update. You know, it was almost a year ago when I first appeared on your talk program. And talked about some of the things that we were beginning, some of the initiatives that we're doing through our church, which is Zion Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church in Lancaster, Texas, and through our 501c3 nonprofit, Zion Chapel Economic Development Corporation. And at that time, I was talking about the importance of the body of Christ, the church itself, the corporate formal organization, rediscovering its power and its ability to become relevant to the community.
Hey, Mike,
yes, sir.
Mike, hold up a minute. Hold up. We're not getting a very good sound right now. So why don't you just call back for a minute and just see if we can reconnect? Because I want everybody to be able to hear this. So we got the sound that's not in good quality. So call me right back. We'll bring you right in, okay? Because we definitely do not want to miss everything that you had to share.
Okay, will do.
Okay. All right, then. Brother Daniel.
Yeah, that's the way technology is, brother.
I know. It is. Man, but you know what?
Yeah.
We do not want to miss anything in this area. And we did a program a couple of weeks ago, and it did not come out quite right, man. And sometimes these things, they don't frustrate you. I know about technology, man. I know how to reset. What you do, you reboot. I cut it off to turn it back on. And guess what? I guess it's back on again. Oh, no, that's not him. That's someone else. So we're not going to answer that call right now because we want our guests to come back in. Man, but hey, do you have a poem for us this week? Because we miss your poem.
Yeah, I got a poem.
Okay, but hold on
to
it. We're going to try to bring you in. No, because I guess it's not on right now. Okay, then. Okay. Hey, man, so what do you think about Mr. Mean Mug and this tattoo? Years.
Well, as far as I heard about, you know, it's just you know, it's a fighting testimony for, you know, his brother, man, to change his life like that, you know, instead of just worrying about being locked up and all staring at each other and fighting each other in jail cell, you know, instead of educating himself, you know, and that's one of the main things about, you know, our youth today, because they get incarcerated, they don't want to learn nothing. And then they go right back in the street and start the same cycle, coming back in, going back in, getting out, going back on the street, going back in, getting out, before you look around and 40, 50 years old and, you know, and still haven't learned nothing. So it's time for us to break that cycle.
And, you know, and Rick, you know, we've been born again in the body of Christ, man. Sometimes it's difficult for us to let people know that, well, hey, we made some mistakes or, you know, and I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and it took me a while to be able to share that with people, man. But sometimes people need to see that you're real, man. That you just ain't come out doing nothing and ain't never messed up, ain't never, you know, even caught a cold, man.
Yeah, you know, it's, they used to tell me, man, experience is the best teacher. And, you know, as like, I know one person said he wanted to be a football coach. A lot of people talk about, like, I give a good example. Everybody want to talk about Jerry Jones. Hey, Jerry Jones don't know nothing about being a football player, a football coach, but Jerry Jones did play football. He got a basic knowledge about football. But they saying he's not a good GM. But, you know, like we all know, you know, some people want to do things. They don't have basically no kind of training, no kind of insight, and they want to try to run things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so true. Yes, it is. Hey, Brother Dane, hold on just a minute here. We're finna call up our guest, and we're not, he's not calling us back, so we're going to give him a call and see what. See, can we bring him up? You may hear the phone dialing in. Let's see. Can we...
That you did, Joel?
Yeah, that's me. You're back on the net.
Yeah, I've been back on. I've been listening.
Okay, great. I see a number here I'm not familiar with, and I didn't want to interrupt it. So, okay, so you switched number. But that's okay. You sound good now. You sound a lot better.
Yeah. Hey, let me make this comment real quick about Jerry Jones. People don't like Jerry Jones because the Cowboys are not winning. But Jerry Jones not only played football at the University of Arkansas, and he was a offensive lineman, a guard, along with the coach that he hired. What was the guy's name? He won the Super Bowls with?
Jimmy Johnson.
With Jimmy Johnson. They were teammates.
Jimmy.
And
yeah,
they were number two in the country and played against Texas in order to determine who was going to be the national champion in 1969. So not only did he play, he was good at what he did, and he was on teams that challenged for the national championship year in and year out at the University of Arkansas. And in terms of being a general manager, he is successful because the Cowboys are the number one sports team in the world, depending on which list you're looking at. It's either them or the New York Yankees, and they're one of the most profitable organization, sports teams in the world, in spite of losing. So obviously, he's an excellent businessman, and he knows sports. It's just that doesn't always translate into you having the players on your team to win, because that requires you having commitments from individual players to do what they need to do, and so on and so forth. But there's no question.
Oh, that's great.
That he's good at what he's doing.
Okay. That's what our last caller was saying there, so I'm glad you pointed that out. And, you know, like we everyone like a winner, so until they start winning consistently, he's going to always get that bad rap. But,
right, brother.
What do you got to share with us this morning?
Well, I'm here this morning by the grace of God and through people and mediums such as your program to share with you and your listeners kind of an update on where we are. From the time that we first appeared on your program almost a year ago. Obviously, I want to notify your listeners that I'm with Zion Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church in Lancaster, Texas, and also with Zion Chapel Economic Development Corporation. And one of our missions is to rediscover the power of God through the corporate body of the church and renewing our relevancy or the importance of the church to our communities and neighborhoods in which we reside. We do that by identifying real needs, not just spiritual, but also physical, and especially as it relates to the socioeconomic conditions in which many of our Black or African-American communities exist. And until we begin to do that, people will look to other organizations, worldly organizations, and secular organizations to meet the needs that God wants to meet through his chosen vessel, faith-based ministries and religious institutions. And so here we go. There are about four or five initiatives that we have chosen to work on that we think will give us the broadest impact in terms of meeting the people's needs in the community. One has to do with the issue and the mission of your guest this morning, Mean Mug, who I also met during the Thanksgiving holiday through one of the activities that you are involved in and are co-sponsors. And that is dealing with the issue about the criminal justice system and the unusually high representation of black people and people of color in prisons and in probation and so forth. And every year there are about 700,000 individuals who are returning to their respective communities across the country. Here in the state of Texas and areas like Dallas, Houston, there are about 70,000 people who are returning. And oftentimes they're returning to some of the most impoverished communities and neighborhoods in our state. Neighborhoods that aren't always equipped to provide the support and the means for them to successfully transition and to be reintegrated into the fabric of community life. Because of that, the recidivism rate or the return rate has become unusually high, well over the low to mid 70% range. And that's stunning. And it needs to be addressed. And there are organizations similar to ours who are attempting to do that. One of the ways we do that, Joel, is by looking at the kinds of services and programs that the formerly incarcerated person needs. And one of those is that he needs a support system, family and friends that can help the individuals bridge that gap and to provide the moral and the spiritual and the physical support and resources necessary to allow that person to get their feet back on the ground and to find housing, meaningful employment, and to develop systems and networks that will enable them to get engaged again in the community. Now, to do that, we have to look at some of the barriers. So one of the initiatives we have in this area to assist the formerly incarcerated person is to become part of a national movement called Ban the Box. Ban the Box is the area on job applications and other kinds of housing applications where they ask you the question, have you ever been convicted of a felony? That has resulted in probably about 65 to 70% of the people who are returning being unable to gain employment. Without employment, it becomes next to impossible to be successfully reintegrated into society and our communities. So this is an initiative, a movement, that is well worth doing and is quite doable. There are 7 states already across the country that have passed legislation to prohibit the asking of that question in person or on the application during the initial stages of the interviewing process. Okay? And that's important. There are well over 30 major urban areas that have passed local ordinances. One is the city of Austin through programs such as All of Us or None, which is basically is ensuring our accessibility to the institutions and the services and resources that we are entitled to as a result of being citizens in a free operating democracy. Ban the Box has tremendous impact because it enables the formerly incarcerated person to gain financial footing, which enables them to not only take care of themselves, but to be able to contribute toward the well-being of their families, and particularly their children, who we know are at greater risk of falling into the criminal justice system because of the absence of a father and the absence of a father who has the financial means to provide the support for his offspring. So we're working with several organizations, and God has blessed us to let us know that there are other organizations who are doing the same thing. One, I've recently been in conversation with key individuals at Cedar Valley Community College who have programs that they're working on right now to provide support and resources for black males who are in their schools and who are seeking enrollment. And they recognize that if they don't take a greater part in looking at the issues and needs in the communities, their future as an institution of education becomes more difficult. In addition to that, we've been working with the City of Lancaster through their Breakfast Roundtable quarterly meeting. And that roundtable consists of the City of Lancaster, the Lancaster Independent School District, and the Lancaster Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance, called LIMA. So we have the faith-based organizations, we have our educational organizations, and we have our political organizations forming a coalition to begin to look at how can we better identify the problems that impede economic development and growth, that empowers people and communities to thrive and to become vibrant and alive. And that's a unique arrangement there. And not only are we looking at how to do that in Lancaster, but extending that into the metropolitan area in a more broadly and impactful way. Some of the things that we're doing through this organization is what we call the rediscovery of our history, that we have children today who don't know and don't understand the power of history and the information that can be learned and gained through studying our history. One example is a program that there is initiating, and it's a partnership, and it's looking at helping our children understand their heritage. For instance, most of our children, if you ask them about Jackie Robinson, can tell you that he was a baseball player who helped to integrate sports, okay? And that's important. But what they don't know about Jackie Robinson is that he was concerned about the lack of access and participation by people of color into the areas of what we call the main institutions and gateways for success, such as the political arena, the economic arena, and so forth. And so what he did was he wrote a letter to President Dwight D. Eisenhower advocating for aggressive action at a time when most political leaders were talking about go slow and so forth. And that letter revealed more about the man than just being a baseball player, how fearless he was in the face of dealing with civil rights issues and the struggle and racism. So his impact and his concern went far beyond the baseball diamond. But most of us don't recognize that. So this program that we're partnering with Lancaster Independent School District is called My History Project. And it's similar to what we call a debate and some of the challenges you see on TV, where you have teams, four-member teams of students who are going to be coached in the area of African-American history. There will be 200 questions that will be presented to these teams, and then we'll have a competition. And this competition is not just made available for students of Lancaster. The students and the teams can come from anywhere in the metropolitan area. And so it's a way for families, parents, community advocates, and people to engage ourselves with our youth, to give them something meaningful, help them to discover that they have something to be proud of and that they're capable of competing on levels that many of our children never realize or think that they're capable of. So it's a tremendous program. So that's one of the things we're looking at.
That's great.
Yes, man. And we're working with local businesses such as banks and credit unions to help our people become much more financially literate and to understand how those systems work so that they can take advantage of it. And also to minimize the negative impact and to stop the loss and the flow of billions of dollars out of our communities into areas other than those that benefit our people. And this is primarily done by trying to shift the flow of money into what we call these predatory lenders, these check-cashing organizations, and these payday loan places that in actuality are gorging our people and our community and creating one of the greatest transition, a transferal of resources from those who have little into the areas and the communities of those who have much more. And so we need to stop that. And so we're working with the banks, local banks, credit unions, and other organizations to begin to try to provide ways of educating our people so that they'll come into the knowledge of. And we believe when people are much more informed about any particular issue, they make better decisions for themselves and their communities. So it's incumbent upon us to meet their needs. And as God says, my people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. So if people are being wounded and are suffering, lost, and so forth, and can't avail themselves of the opportunities in one of the greatest countries and the wealthiest countries in the world because of a lack of knowledge, then we as faith-based people are challenged to educate them to ensure that they know what their options and choices are so that they can, what, avail themselves of it. So that's one of the things that we're doing.
And you know, Mike, as you were sharing that, I was making some notes, man, and you really hit on some things there that is really worth needed. As you were saying that how we should be well-informed as a community and well-educated as a community, and we see the decay of a community because of like of those things there. And I'm glad that you and what you're attempting to do through the Lancaster Civic Center and agencies in Lancaster, Texas, are attempting to make a difference in that community. How can other churches and other bodies and other organizations can be a part of what you're doing while you're on the forefront of changing a community?
Excellent question. And that leads right into what I was getting ready to do. Well, first of all, we have a list that we provide, and it's titled What You Can Do Now. And it looks at the various entities, organizations, and so forth, such as legislators, politicians, employers, property owners or landlords, academia, the media, civil rights organizations, students, individuals, social service organizations. But various entities and organizations are listed here. And we provide some ideas and suggestions about what each one can do now to begin to make a difference in our communities and for our children. That information can be requested by simply calling one of these two numbers, 972-218-9789, which is at Zion Chapel, or by contacting me directly at 214-900-4179, and you request the information, and we'll get that in the mail to you, whether it's snail mail or email or whatever. You can also attend some of our monthly meetings. For instance, today we're having a follow-up meeting through our initiative called Black Men Down, Missing in Action. Missing in the area of family, faith, education, economics, and government, of which you are a member of, thank God. And we're addressing the issues that affect black boys and black men, and specifically how that interferes with or helps to undermine the structure and the importance of families, and particularly black or African-American families. And so that meeting today is at from 1 to 2:30, and each month we'll have a meeting as we begin to look at the issues and then define and come up with strategies to address that. And so we're welcoming and inviting people to be a part of that and to come join us. Here's another way that you can help us this Christmas. We have an organization in Lancaster which was established by the churches in Lancaster. It's called the Lancaster Outreach Center. And every year they have an annual Christmas shop event. This event is to provide opportunities for families who are below 200% below the poverty guideline, and it enables us to provide basic Christmas for 145 families and over 300 children through the distribution of over $16,000 worth of toys and $10,000 worth of food for the event, which is December 21st of this year. We at Zion serve as a drop-off place for toys and canned goods. We also assist in the recruitment of volunteers for the event and in preparation, which is the 20th, 19th, and the 20th in terms of assisting in the activities, the preparations, and the actual event itself. But these are some of the things that we're trying to do and that are replicable, that can be done in other communities to engage, to make a connection between faith-based organizations and their constituents in the communities in which we serve, so that we begin to have what we call partnerships. Partnerships forged out of a mutual love of God and the need, the desire to meet the needs of His people. So call those two numbers, Zion Chapel, 972-218-9789, or call me directly at 214-900-4179, and we'll get information out on how you can get involved individually or organizationally, and resources that we have available to support you in your attempts to meet the needs in your local community.
Oh, Mike, that's great. That's great. You gave us a lot of information this morning, man, and I've been writing this down as you were sharing it with us, and we pray that our listening audience have an opportunity to jot some of this information down, but you could always go back and listen to our archive show. And, Mike, I want to thank you for being on here, brother. I enjoy your enthusiasm, man, when it comes down to the Word of God, when it comes down to sharing and being involved in the life of someone. You know, our motto is that help change their life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. We can't, and it's difficult to do things alone. So as you was talking about bringing other people into ministry and programs, man, there's power in numbers, man. There's, you know, how can two agree unless they walk together? Even our Lord and Savior sent His disciples out two by two. And, you know, that's still applicable today, brother. We don't have to do this alone. There's many, many organizations and programs is trying to do, or that's doing what we have a desire to do. So we just have to be able to be plugged in and just support other organizations. And when God sees time to increase and broaden your territory, so be it. But I like that, man, because you're encouraging other people to come on board, man. It ain't just Zion Chapel. It ain't just what we're doing. It's available for everybody.
Amen. And you're right. It's so important because the nomenclature today is basically defined by corporate America through the use of the media. And what it instills is this culture of individualism and competition. And those two things do not encourage or allow for what we call fellowship. And fellowship is the basis for community. That's why the writer in 1 John says that we cannot help but talk about what we have seen and heard, what we have touched, and more intimately, what we have handled. And that is that we have fellowship with the Father through the Son, and that we have fellowship with one another. So fellowship comes from shared adversity that creates bonds for us. And so you're doing that, Joel, and we're just happy to be a part of it and have the opportunity to share what God is doing, not only in our lives individually, but organizationally, and how He wants to bring people together to form a new vehicle, new coalitions that will enable us to advance the kingdom of God by force, if necessary. That means to destroy the barriers and walls that prevent people from knowing and having full access to what God created. So thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Until we do this again, man, stay connected, Mike. Stay connected and be an encourager, brother. Thank you for being a guest on our weekly internet program. We pray that you have been blessed, you've been informed, you've been empowered through the Word of God to go out and change your life.
Amen.
Amen. All right, God bless you. Until we meet again, Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day. Dear Lord, we thank you for the guest that came on, Mr. Mean Mug, dear Lord, how you changed his situation, dear Lord, from darkness to light, dear Lord, how you made his life, dear Lord, become a witness and a testimony of your power, dear Lord. We ask you to continue to bless him and what he's out to do in the life of our young men. We pray for Brother Michael, dear Lord, that you continually to encourage him, continue to give him the resources he needs. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.